Now, we don't know what the time frame was for the original initial physical construction and then all of the details where they overlaid everything with wood and gold and all of these things that were taking place. But when we begin to understand the detail that went into Solomon's temple, we can understand why it would take 7 years. Because I have to remind you that even though this temple was not that big by today's standard, yesterday I found myself in Guadalajara. And there in Guadalajara, while I was driving to a funeral of a friend who just passed away, I see this huge structure. And it's this new theater that they're putting up just on the north side of the north periférico. And this thing, they want to have it done by the football, the World Cup of next year, where Mexico, and specifically Guadalajara, is going to host the United States and Canada in the football series. And so that was the plan. Right now, but it's shocking to me in just a few months since the last time I was on that road how quickly this thing went up. It is huge in comparison, this huge dome, and you could see it from all around. It's just around the corner from where I used to live, and there in front of the zoo, it's going to have a prime location in all that is going to be done. But it's amazing that within just a couple of months, they can raise a huge structure like that. I wonder how long all the details inside are going to take in order for them to actually have their first event there. But you have to remember, in the days of Solomon, everything was custom. I will promise you that there was not a single moment in which Solomon got onto the internet and ordered on Amazon the items that he needed in order to finish the temple. How many believe me? Amazon didn't exist, right? So everything had to be hand done. All of the planks were hand cut. All of the engravings, all of the stuff, all of the gold, everything had to be handmade in its entirety. And if you begin to look through, there were thousands of people working on this project. From the people in the stone yards, from the people far away cutting the lumber, from floating it down the waterways and causing everything to get to where it needs to be. The truth is that the details took Solomon a long time, but it still is that case today. The details is what takes forever in a building project. And you say, okay, Pastor, I didn't come to church on Sunday to be able to learn about construction and figure out what the process is in a construction project. And I want to share with you that our spiritual lives are the same way. We have to understand that we also, spiritually speaking, are involved in a construction project. Let me take you to the New Testament in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5. It says, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. So each and every one of us are spiritual stones that God is using to create and make this spiritual house that we have in heaven. Now, we can understand it like this. Our salvation comes quickly. I mean, if you think about it, how long did it take when you decided to commit your life to Jesus? I mean, people, we've shared the gospel with others, and they say, yes, I want this. And so we say, you know, say this prayer with me. And we commit our life to Jesus in a prayer. And at that moment, according to what the Word of God teaches us, that person is saved. Their life is changed. And I had opportunity to see the facial reaction when all of a sudden this person realizes that they have moved from death to life, that their sins are forgiven, all of these things are happening in their life, and it's relatively quick. And if you talk about salvation, Jesus walked on earth for just a brief period of time, a brief period of time of actual ministry. I mean, I think back at the years that I've been here in this church, and I think, my goodness, I've been pastoring and preaching in this church for 8 times longer or 7 times longer or whatever than Jesus preached all over the earth. And you start to think about some of these things. The period of time that Jesus actually engaged in procuring our salvation was a relatively brief period of time. But here we are, 2,000 2,000 years later. What's taking so long? And that's what we're talking about here today. Because the details of the house is always what takes so long. Now notice what it says about Solomon's temple. And we jumped over this verse before, but I'm going to read it for you now in 1 Kings chapter 6. Now in verse 7, it says, "In building the temple, only blocks dressed at the quarry were used. And no hammer, chisel, or any other iron tool was heard at the temple site while it was being built." Now think about that. And the complications involved in that. They would say, the master over there at the temple, "We need a stone that is 2 cubits wide by," you know, they give the measurements. Now, I watched this YouTube video the other day, and I think the title was "Dumbest Things I've Ever Seen at a Work Site" or something like that. And here was these people, they were working. And they were, I believe, they were forming some sort of concrete, maybe a pool. And this guy, he goes over and he says, "Okay, I need this piece, I need a piece of lumber." And nobody had a tape measure. He comes over and he says, and he walks across this plank. And there's another guy on the other side of all of this rebar that's sticking up. And he goes like this, and he puts his hands through the rebar. "I need it this wide." And that guy walks across another plank and puts his hands up to the first guy's hands. And then he turns around, and he walks back, and he cuts this board that wide. And amazing, it didn't fit. And it made me think about what would they have been doing those days. How many times did a stone show up and he said, "Well, I needed it this wide," and it shows up a little bit too long and have to send it back because there was a rule that there was no work to be done like that kind. It has to all be perfect back there in the stone quarry. And this is what was going on in the days of Solomon. And so just like in the days of the building of the temple, the stones were all dressed back there. But when we understand that Jesus is perfecting us, and we are to be these living stones that fit into the spiritual house. It's not like some people think that, "Oh man, I'll be perfect when I get to heaven." No, the plan is that God is perfecting us today. The plan of God is to modify and correct all of our problems. And let me just share it with you. It's not always that you say, "Oh, I can see I have a problem." How many know that you go through problems and sufferings and moments and you say, "That just doesn't make sense"? And I think the same thing could have been said about the stone that was being taken back to the quarry, and they say, "They want this corner chopped off." And the stone probably would say, "That corner looks good to me. It may look good all by itself. But when put into comparison and tried to fit into the temple, the exact location that it needed to be, it doesn't matter if in other locations, in normal way of life, that was okay. In that particular stone, it had to be removed. And so the same thing applies to us right now. There is no plan in heaven to finish us when we get there. God expects us to arrive already perfected. Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 10, "Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." In other words, while we are living here on earth, God is changing us into the individuals that God wants us to be. It's not that we're going to hope for it to happen someday in the future. Right now, we are being prepared as the stones, the living stones that are going to fit perfectly into the spiritual house that Jesus is building. And if you understand what I'm saying, what we're really talking about is that rapidly we can understand and accept salvation, but the details is what's taking forever. The details of moving into the house is what always takes such a long period of time. In Revelation chapter 19, verse 7, it says, "Let us rejoice and be glad and give him the glory, for the wedding of the Lamb has come." Now notice why they're rejoicing. Because finally, Jesus is ready, right? No, that's not what it says. It says, "And his bride has made herself ready." You see, my friends, the problem isn't that Jesus is slow. You know, sometimes people move into their houses late, and it's not always the contractor's fault. If you hadn't changed the style of the house and the type of flooring and the width of the doors and the location of the kitchen, you know, sometimes people who think that they know it all really can make their whole life miserable. Because it just extends forever and ever and ever. And the same thing is true. You say, why are we here 2,000 years later? It's not because Jesus is the one that we have to be patient with because he's kind of a slow contractor. It's because, really, Jesus has to be patient with us because, now, I want to be careful how I phrase this. I was going to ask how many think of themselves as difficult stones. But I'm going to change it. I'm going to say, how many know difficult stones to work with? Other people that Jesus really has a lot of hard work to do on them, and they're just kind of not willing to cooperate. That when the master contractor comes out with the chisel and he sets the stone there and says, I need this corner off, and he goes like this. How many know that there are sometimes people that kind of flinch? And they just get out and just as soon as they're about ready to take that stone moves. And that's kind of what is happening. And here we are this many years later waiting for the fulfillment where the bride has finally made herself ready. You understand what's being said here? It's not that the contractor was amiss. It's not that the master contractor or the stonemason at the temple site was the slow one. The items that were coming were not the correct size. They weren't the correct shape. They didn't fit into the plan and had to be returned. And so what happens? It looks like the work is being at a standstill, but the real problem is that the stones aren't cooperating. They're not fitting in. The church then is the one that has made herself ready. We as the church have to arrive perfect. Because you know what the Word of God tells us? It's appointed unto man once to die, and after that the judgment. So you know what? You will not be sent back for more pounding. Like the days of Solomon, those masters could have looked at the stone and said, I like the stone. It has good texture to it. It'll work for me, but this part needs to be corrected. Send it back and they would draw this little nice line around and say, take this part off, right? And it could come back. But that's not the case with us. We only have one chance. After we die, is the judgment. You're not going to come back. You're not going to be given another opportunity. You have to allow the Holy Spirit to work in your life so that you arrive the exact way that Jesus wants you. Because Jesus is the master constructor who is fitting you perfectly into that. And you say, well, he didn't take that off of the other person. Well, the other person fits into another spot. Every one of us are in a different location, and God is expecting to use us in a different way, so we cannot compare one another. We can't say, well, it's okay for them, so it must be okay for me. We have to be willing for the Holy Spirit to come along, and when he raises the hammer over the chisel, and he wants to take off this corner, you say, but I like that corner. That's when you start to wonder, wow, I understand why it's taking so long for all of this to take place. Peter reminds us in this way. He says in 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient. Notice it doesn't say we're patient with him. It says he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish. Because if he were to say, okay, we're done, that would mean we didn't get perfected first. So we're not a part of the temple. You know, it was at Solomon's temple that when 7 years had gone by and the project was done, I mean, it was beautiful. All of this cedar paneling and this gold overlay and so much. Everyone could come in and say, wow, that is great. But you know what was really great? Was because a few moments later, Solomon bowed in front of everybody and prayed a prayer of dedication. And the presence of God came in and filled the place with his glory. We are expected to be a part of the spiritual house. And the glory of God, according to the book of Revelation, is going to be permanently there. We're going to have rivers of his glory flowing out. It's going to be and so we want to be there, and it has to be perfect for the real glory to show up. What you have seen to this moment is just a taste. What God has in mind with the spiritual house being completed is unimaginable. And some people get distracted because John goes back and says, yeah, there were streets of gold. There was gold all over the walls in Solomon's day. But the focus wasn't on the gold anymore. All of a sudden, the glory of God had filled that temple. And this is what's happening. Because Jesus doesn't want anybody to perish. So he keeps delaying. And he keeps saying, no, we're not ready yet. But why are we not ready? What are the details? I'm one of them. God's still working on me. So what is my obligation as one who is waiting for God to work on him? Jesus is not the slow one. I'll confess, I'm probably the slow one. I'm the one that likes to flinch. I'm the one that thinks I've already got it figured out. You know, the older I get, the less I have figured out. You know, when I was a teenager, I was the smartest person I knew. But the older I get, the more I understand, I don't understand it. And that's where we have to get. We have to get to this place where you say, you know what, I don't need to figure it out. I want the Holy Spirit to work in my life. Thank you, Jesus, that you are patient with me. I don't need to learn to be patient with Jesus. I need to be grateful that Jesus is being patient with me, and I need to endeavor to not cause him to have to exercise more and more patience. How many know that we don't want to be the cause for Jesus saying, thanks, you're teaching me patience? I mean, you can imagine the stonemasons in the day of Solomon's temple, and one stone, you know, they're just tempted. Just toss it out. It's not worth it. No, this is the one. This is the one that has the lines all drawn on it. This is the one that I have to make right. Because if I start again, I'm going to have it go back and forth anyway. I have to work on this one. And you know, they may get frustrated with it. It's just not wanting to go. How come this is harder than anybody else? And so forth. You know, every stone has a different density. I'm not saying that you're dense, but you know, every stone has a different density. And Jesus is patient with us. Paul tells us in Philippians 2, verse 12, therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed. Notice the focus is on obedience. Why do we need to be obedient? Because through our obedience, we allow the Holy Spirit to mold and change us, to modify us, so that we are the people that he needs to have us be. He says, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence. What does he say? Continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. In other words, continue to allow you, who is that living stone, to be modified through your obedience. Obey Jesus. Submit to him. When he raises the hammer over the chisel in your life, don't flinch. We know we can trust him because he's the master. He wants the best. How many of you know people who seem to suffer the same problems year after year after year? They're in this constant cycle, this merry-go-round of life. Because every time God raises the hammer over the chisel in their life, they jump out of the way. And so now in a new location, finally God gets them back into the place where he can put them onto the table, and he gets ready to raises the hammer, and they don't like that again. And they call these their problems. But God calls them his chisel. Maybe he'll use sandpaper. Maybe he'll use a pick. You know, thank goodness he hasn't used dynamite on me yet, you know? And every one of us, as we move closer and closer into him, you know what? What happens is the instruments get more fine, more detailed, as you begin to find and hone what we can now imagine as before a stone, but becoming a diamond with all of its facets. Because the master is at work in our lives. And Paul says to them, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, knowing that we're not finished yet, but that Jesus is doing a work in us. We are the ones who have to work out our salvation. It's not that God is slow, it's that we're slow. It's not that we need to be patient with him, it's that he is patient with us. Because we are the ones being transformed. We are the ones being honed and renewed. All of this to fit perfectly into the plan of God. How many want to be a part of that spiritual house of God? We want to fit perfectly into the plan of God. And, you know, we on earth run around sometimes like chickens with their head cut off. We don't understand. We're like those people and saying, it looks good to me. We're like those people who are walking along saying, it should be this wide. And we don't have a clue what we're talking about. And yet God comes along and he's working on our lives with the exactness that God and only God has, who's the one who created the entire universe, put every molecule and atom in place. He is the one who understands every detail. And he says, we are rejoicing now because the church, the bride, has finally, he didn't put that word in there, I would have if I were him, made herself ready. That's what was being declared. So we need to be the people who make ourselves ready. Now, I want to be emphatic in one thing. There's no work being done in heaven. You thinking that one day you'll get to heaven and there it'll all work itself out? Wrong. God's working it out here in you. And so what is our calling? The work being done here? What can we do about that? Why are we told by Paul to work out our salvation? What are we doing with this? We are the ones who are cooperating with God. How many have ever met somebody? You weren't certainly that person, but somebody who weren't very cooperative. You know, when you try to work with somebody that's not cooperative, it makes the whole job harder. And God has some people like that. Praise the Lord, they're not in our church, right? But we need to learn to cooperate with the builder. And so I ask you the question as we're getting ready to conclude and bring to a finish this morning. How is your cooperation level? Do you find yourself comparing with others and saying, that should be okay with me as well? Do you find yourself arguing the details when he's the one who's the master and he's the one that needs to know all the details? Are you ever tempted to say, that doesn't seem very fair? Well, all of those kinds of statements mean that we as humans are tempted to not cooperate with God. We want it our way. We want to sing the song, I did it my way. But God isn't about us doing it our way. He's about fashioning us, honing us to fit perfectly into the house that he's building. I, for one, want to be a part of that house. And I want to challenge you to open your life up, even in the times of suffering, even in the times when you don't understand why things are going on and you have to, you're frustrated and this doesn't make any sense, that we just, by faith, can say, God, I thank you that you're making that place, and that place where I'm going to be is already determined, and I'm going to be perfect when I get there. I give you permission, God, to take off that corner, even though it's a corner that I kind of like. I give you permission, God, to alter my life, even though I kind of like the life I have. And we cooperate with God 100%. And we're going to be able to get to that day when we're going to be rejoicing in heaven and saying, the bride has made herself ready. Bow your heads with me, if you will. Lord, I thank you for your good work in us. Lord, it's not by our abilities. We're just stones that keep trying to jump off. We're just these living sacrifices that tend to want to climb off the altar. And Lord, we need to learn to climb back on. And that when we see the problem coming, all too often we're tempted to get out of the way. When in reality, you have that chisel out, the hammer raised, and you're about ready to do a great work in our lives. The end result, Lord, is worth the pain. The end result, Lord, is worth it all. Because we're going to find ourselves celebrating with you and being filled with your glory like never before imagined. Because the church, your bride, has made herself ready. So Lord, we give you permission this morning. Do what you need to do in our lives. If you're here this morning, you say, that's my prayer, Pastor. Just raise your hand as a sign of solidarity with God. God, you can do whatever you need to do. It's not a comparison to somebody else. I want to fit where you tell me to fit. I want to obey. I want to be your chosen instrument for that location. Thank you for choosing me. I choose to cooperate with you, God. In your name we pray. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Have a blessed afternoon. I'll see you on Wednesday at Bible study at 11 a.m. We're dismissed.